Welcome to I Do, I Sue, a family law podcast with Timothy Nichols and Gillian Yeend.
So Tim, today in our podcast we've been talking about technology-facilitated stalking and abuse in family law matters.
Yeah.
And we thought we'd get in an expert to talk about the IT side of stuff and how easy this stuff is for people to do, how they can protect themselves against it, and all of that stuff.
This is essential information. I'm really glad we're here to talk about this.
Yeah, it's exciting. So we've got Dave Chappell here this afternoon, and Dave and I have known each other for a while, and he works at Dynamic Business Technologies and like does all things IT. And the thing that I like about Dave is that I saw him do a presentation once, and his presentation was about the dark web. And I still don't really know what the dark web is after that presentation. But can you sum up again? Because I tried to explain to Tim the other day what the dark web was. But can you sum it up again for me? Because I'm still confused.
Yeah, sure. So the dark web, pretty much it's a place where you can go to buy things that are not regularly sold. So obviously, you're looking there for narcotics, anything on that side of things, along with...
We're not looking, just to be clear, we're not looking for these things on the dark web. We're lawyers, yeah. Looking. Yeah.
They may be available.
Yeah.
Along with people's credentials and things like that. Whatever you think that you could find there, you probably can.
So and can you buy people's information?
Very much.
And that's what Dave did his talk on. It was about... You know, it was basically this expose, which I love, and it was this expose on, you know, do you think your credentials are out there on the dark web or your passwords and things? And they are, and like they're available for sale for like, you know, $2 and stuff. It's mind blowing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pittance. It's sort of somewhere within the range of $1 to $8. You can get the credentials of whatever you wanted to be provided.
Yeah. Now, keeping in mind, I still remember when you could search the internet by Netscape Navigator. So I wouldn't be able to do that because I don't know how to get onto the dark web. But if we did, Dave's here and
I can barely use Google. So this
yeah. Yeah. All right. So coming back to what we're talking about today, I guess we're talking about this stuff in a more distilled down personal level and in the context of people separating and potentially having partners who are trying to, you know, keep a track of their whereabouts or get personal information they might, you know, not want them to have post-separation through the technology they're using. And, you know, we're all using technology now. We've got phones that, you know, have the internet on them and all of those things. I still also remember having a mobile phone that I could drive in a car that would plug into like the car. So, you know, this is all pretty fancy still for me. But in terms of like personal computer hacking, how like, you know, how often does that happen or how easy is that to occur between just individuals?
So it's very consistently happening. In regards to someone getting information, it's roughly, a hacker will get information roughly every 75 seconds.
Wow.
Now, whether that's relevant to you obviously changes, but they're constantly looking and it's a business.
Yeah.
They operate as a business. The more credentials that they get, the better they are going to be perceived in the market.
And if you're like not a hacker per se, but you're a disgruntled ex and you want to get the information on your ex-partner's computer, I mean, how difficult is that? Like, do you need to kind of know how to do it? Are there, you know, are people able to word themselves up now on the internet and find out how to do it, or how does that work?
Yeah, there's like there is information available as to how to become someone that is able to hack. Quite often if you're dealing with an ex spouse or someone like that, credentials are pretty commonly shared between those, or you'll have some form of shared account, and having access to one account can lead you to the other ones as well.
What are credentials?
So passwords, usernames, secret answer questions, things like that as well.
Mine is so simple. Yeah. Anyone could hack me.
Don't tell the podcast your credentials, like, you know. But so, I mean, you know, having the pin board at home with all your passwords and things is really not a good idea, especially if you're about to you know, break up with someone.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll see it, like, quite often people will be looking over people's shoulders in employment atmospheres and things like that as well. Like, it's not just isolated to the home.
Yeah.
But someone will know someone that could potentially know your password.
And what about, because I've heard of people using, like, those keystroke things where they, like, you know, they put, I don't know if they're programs.
Is it software or something?
I assume it's software where they put it on the computer so that they can then go and get on that computer and see what passwords and things people have used. Like, how common is that kind of stuff?
It's obviously more sophisticated if they're getting to that extent, but there's lots of spyware software that's out there, which is basically things that sit in the background of computers that can be installed from when you get a free software that can come with a couple of different applications that are installed with it as well, and sometimes they are spyware that just sit dormant in the back of your computer to see what's happening.
By the company or by, like, that, you know, you have on there and you know that it's on there so you can track what people are doing on your computer?
Either either. Quite often companies will, if I'm selling a free software and someone offers me, I'll pay you money in order to install my software with yours, then I'm probably not going to say no to that information.
Wow. Okay. And so, I mean, so this doesn't sound like stuff that people are getting off the dark web, for example. Like, it's far more, you know, in practice. Okay.
Yeah, this is top search results in, in just a general search. You can find this software and it will just be downloaded. People will use things like TeamViewer. TeamViewer is very common.
What's TeamViewer?
So it's what a lot of people will use. So IT companies will use it to see the other end of the computer to try and fix the issue. Now, TeamViewer is not a malicious software by any means, but it can be used maliciously.
So, like, you know, if you ring up your IT company and you're like, oh, like, I've forgotten my password or I can't log in, and they're like, hey, Gil, click on this thing and type in this code and we'll get in your computer and you see the mouse going around. It's that kind of stuff.
That's the same sort of software.
Yeah. But people are using that in a personal setting potentially to get, and they can see what's happening on people's computers.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, that's like, it's so invasive, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, in terms of that, what can they see on the computer? I mean, can they just see everything? Like,
yeah, once they're in, you can see everything that happens. So if you're putting bank details in, any personal information, photos, all that sort of stuff, you can get into whatever you like.
And can they manipulate things in the computer too? Like, you know, send out, like, they can do whatever you would be doing on a computer as well.
Yep, they're just logged into your computer and away they go.
That's terrible. Don't ever do that to my computer, do you? Like, you know, yeah. But so if that were to happen, and again, coming back to people in a separated context, just say you've got, you know, someone who's a bit more computer savvy than obviously us, and they do that to keep a track of what their partner's doing, how can the kind of victim of that experience know or kind of check what's happening on their computer and try and fix it?
Yeah, it's probably much harder. Once it's installed, it is hard to get rid of.
Yep.
The whole idea of it. It would be like, you'd want to be running a current antivirus, not just a free one that you can find online. You would have to pay for one that does, like, that's their job, is to make sure that those things are active. And yeah, probably reach out to a local IT person to double check to make sure there's no malicious software in the back end that they know of. Just get it checked and see if there's anything there.
And, you know, obviously you work in an IT capacity and you work with businesses and things, but, you know, in your capacity, if there were individuals who are wanting to check this stuff and kind of get some support, like, do IT companies do that as well? Like, you know, do they, like, say, look, yes, we look after these businesses over here, but sure, we're happy to come and help individuals check what they've got, you know, put on the right anti-software and antivirus software and all of those things?
Yeah, so there will be, like, individual companies that do that side of things as well. We obviously look after businesses as our bread and butter.
Yeah.
And same sort of thing. We'd still be happy to assist if someone came to us pleading for help.
Yeah.
We're still going to help in that.
So then if you see then that someone's done that on someone's computer, are you able to isolate where that was done or how to try and trace back to find out who had possibly done it?
That's a good question. Yeah.
You can go to that extent. it's not easy because people will use, I guess, like software to make it so that they're not in their current location. So
I see.
Things like a VPN, which basically says that I'm in Sydney rather than Newcastle or something like that.
So if they're so sophisticated that they can put this kind of software on or maneuver things in the background, they're the kinds of people that would cover their tracks.
Probably. More commonly, they are someone that knows how to cover themselves as well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Tricky buggers.
Yeah, yeah. So ideally what you're looking for is partners who are as IT incompetent as you.
Absolutely.
Like to get the best kind of safety out of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, people that aren't IT savvy, like credentials are still for sale. Like,
yeah.
It's very easy to access someone's details. There's things that you can go to check to see if your details are for sale. So there's a website called Have You Been Pwned, which is PWNED. And that checks like your personal details to see if there's a way of tracking your information personally.
And again, when Dave did his talk that I saw, like that's what he was showing, like, you know, showing, you know, this check where you could go and see are your details and passwords and things being
sold. So I could check. Someone could be selling a login to my Facebook or my Instagram account.
Yep. Well, because they're very popular. Yeah. Like,
that's insane.
And it's quite easy. Once they've got access to one account, realistically, people are using that same password for multiple locations, or their secret questions are the same, so the answers are the same.
Wow.
Sort of thing. So to get into one account, you then have to change however many accounts you have, 100 and something is most common.
And coming back to that, because, and I think I've given it to you as well, like we have like a, and not because you were separating, but I think I was like, here, look at what we've done. But we have like this separation checklist. And in that checklist, we have a whole bunch of things for our clients, which are like, go and change these passwords, update this info, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, it's sort of pretty low level stuff from our end, but in terms of the gold standard and best practice of your own personal internet security, how often should people be changing their passwords with things?
Yeah, so, I mean, changing your passwords is not the be all and end all. It's like people are using very simple passwords, using something like a password manager like LastPass or Bitwarden is probably a more...
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, so what are these? I mean, all of my passwords are Timothy. No.
Timothy, one extra.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're password managers, which they will store passwords in behind a secure vault for you, and they will create passwords that are more complicated for websites as well. So instead of using the same password across all of your accounts, it will manipulate some form of password for you, and you won't need to know what your Facebook password is, but because you know your password to your password manager, you can then log into your account.
Wow. And is that the gold standard? Is that what everyone should be doing?
That's a much more effective way. And then using things like multi-factor authentication, where
okay. You
get a ping to your phone to say, are you logging in to Facebook currently?
Oh, yes. Yeah. See, like, you know, I'm bad. I often go, no, like, no, you think I really, like, I can't look Dave in the eye again if I don't update how I approach this stuff. But, yeah, okay. So, and who, like, I mean, who has the vault, so to speak? So, I mean, are
it's
these
not a bank
people...
vault. It's like... It's
yeah.
No, I'm asking. Like, yeah. It'd be some magic cyberspace somewhere where there's a wall and a key.
Yeah, so they're obviously spending a lot of money on their security protocols to make sure that their passwords are secure, and that's what their business is, right? Is that you hope that their security is stronger than yours.
Yeah.
It's where you sort of
say, I hope their credentials aren't for sale on the dark web.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow. Okay. And I mean, so in terms of that, that's the best way for people to also protect stuff like their social media accounts and like personal email accounts and things like that by having some password.
A password manager, yeah.
Yeah.
And same sort of thing as if you do need to share your credentials with your spouse, you can share it without showing that person the password as well.
Okay.
So I can share my password with you and you can log into my account, but you don't know what the password is and you can't reset it.
Oh, that's very, very clever. Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, that's really, the gold standard of relationship internet security between, you know, couples who aren't separated yet, like, you know, draw a little line, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to get people sort of to think that way, that that's how you should be prepared about going into a relationship. And it's obviously not an easy conversation.
I like them. They won't hack me.
Yeah. Have you been able to sell, you know, that approach with your wife? Like, you know, or is she like, no way, I want all the passwords?
No, my wife runs everything.
Okay, yeah. Good.
So then would you say then it's better to be proactive rather than reactive in your internet security?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Being reactive in internet security is very painful, and you're talking weeks, if not months, of not having your accounts.
Wow. So then the password situation, sorting that out with something like that's a good thing. Then talking about, you know, the making sure you've got the antivirus software on. What other things can you do to be proactive to manage your internet security?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, there is a general sense of you have to have common sense about it as well in going, if it doesn't look right.
Oh, damn, we're out then.
Yeah. If it doesn't look right, then it probably isn't.
What do you mean by that?
So hackers are becoming a lot more sophisticated in the way that they target people, and they will send emails from Microsoft, in inverted commas, and it will ask for your details, and they won't generally ask for your password over an email, but people will provide that. Sometimes
I've received those before where they say click this link to log into your account to correct something or something like that. I've received those before.
Yeah, correct. You will get a number of them because it's very easy to replicate it, and businesses like Microsoft, their logos are very easily available, and you do receive genuine emails from them as well, so you can manipulate that and send it back and
hack. But the big indicator is if it's like Microsoft with two S's. You're like, oh, I know what's going on.
That happened to me a few weeks ago, and it was only by chance that I saw the email at the top of the email, and it was some weird email with all the Microsoft logos. And I thought, oh, that's not Microsoft.
Mm. And they're getting more clever with, even with Microsoft spelt wrong, they'll spell Microsoft with two N's instead of an M at the start. So it looks similar.
Yeah.
Wow.
W's instead of two V's for different emails and things like that, to make it so that it looks very close. If you're glancing over, you wouldn't see that it's any different.
Sophisticated hackers, but their spelling and grammar's appalling.
but that's the trick. That's yeah. The
yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
It's very Ocean's 11, isn't it? You know, going
sort
in.
Sort of. Like...
That's the way I want to think about it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so in terms of, I guess, you know, coming back to what you said before, fixing it, how do you fix this stuff? So if you think, look, I think someone's in my computer, I think, you know, weird things are happening, people are, you know, I don't know, using my accounts, like, what do you do with a computer or to fix that stuff? Like, who do you go and see?
So, I mean, your internet-based applications are the quickest to change, is change your passwords, because that will force log out of everyone else and they will have to know the new password. You will find things like, if it's a sophisticated hacker, they will have already changed your password, so you won't be able to. So there are things like that where you've
and what do you do then? Like,
you pray and hope to the gods of that company that they will be able to get your account back.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes it's if they've changed enough details in there so that you can't prove that it's you, you have to go through the process of applying to the company to go, I've had this account hacked, it's been changed, all my details, here are, like, here's my passport license and things like that, and have to provide that and hope that you're going through the right channels as well.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
And so things like, especially their email accounts and things, it's probably good to practice good email hygiene in, you know, getting rid of emails that you don't need and so forth, so they're not able to go through and get all your other information as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, making sure that you're keeping your inbox as clean as possible. We're all pretty bad at it. But
I might not show you my inbox, like, you know, which I tried to fix by that rules thing where you have them sent to other folders. That's just just exacerbated the problem. So yeah, it
just makes all folders bad instead.
But
yeah, in just making sure that, you know, you're checking your emails and going, okay, is this malicious or anything like that, then get rid of it. Then there's no way of coming back to it at any stage. So,
and what about, I mean, and you know, if this falls outside of your wheelhouse, you can tell us, but I mean, what about things like, you know, being able to follow people or track people on their phones, which are kind of computers as well? Like, I mean, you know, how common is that kind of application, or, you know, are people doing that to other people? What's the lowdown there?
I'm sure it's happening. I don't know.
Okay, that's outside of your wheelhouse. You know, you're all things technical to me. So,
I think
yeah,
it's happening in matters a lot of times where children are young and they're walking home from school or something, and on their mobile phones there's a tracker so the parents can be aware of where the kids are when they're walking home from school.
Well, and it's all like, you know, everyone being in the cloud together. Like, I mean, that's a really, you know, and I mean, look, I've had matters where, you know, like, again, I don't know how these clouds work, but like, I had this matter once where, you know, partners had shared photos and they ended up in like the kids' like laptops or whatever because they'd come through the cloud. God, that's really unfortunate.
Oh,
but I mean, with that kind of stuff, I mean, how does that happen? What's the problem there?
So, I mean, with the first thing that you mentioned in terms of like tracking people as they're going about their day, a lot of applications you allow location tracking. It's one of the standard questions that gets asked for things like Facebook and Snapchat. They ask, can we track your location? And most people are saying yes, and then you're available on a map.
Do you think that's ignorance to their own security when they're just saying yes on an app or saying something like that? Is that something people should be thinking about as opposed to just flicking through the, ticking the boxes?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it should be something that's thought of, is that how important is it that other people know my location on that app?
Yeah.
Most of the time, you don't need to have the location in order to use it. So,
wow.
So, do you normally say no?
Most of mine, I say no. There's no reason to have it on there. I don't really have any need for people to know where I am through those apps. So,
yeah,
it's something that I commonly say no to.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of, I guess, any other practical tips when, you know, people are looking to manage their own internet security, like, is there anything else that you can suggest that people should think about?
Yeah, I think we've covered most of it through the conversation. Is like, password managers are very valuable and they're underutilized by general public.
How much do they normally cost people? Like, what's the investment for that kind of security?
Time.
Okay.
Mostly they're free for an account.
Okay.
Managing a family account can cost. I'm not sure as to how much that is, but if you're looking for an account for yourself, free.
Yeah. Wow.
So there are things you can put in place that are relatively low fast, low effort, but protect your online security.
Yeah, and it makes your life a lot easier of not having to remember your passwords.
I forget mine all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, I hope someone hacks me so they can remind me of what my passwords were.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite tiresome to have to keep resetting your password. Like, I mean, look, to be fair, my, like, password security is probably good for that reason, because I just have to keep resetting it every time I log into something because I can't remember them. But, yeah. All right, that's super interesting and also scary. I mean, it just makes me feel really vulnerable in terms of the amount of information you have out there. And, you know, we put a lot of reliance on technology that we use. And I think, you know, probably what's obvious is that most of us, at least Tim and I, are pretty thoughtless about how we're using it. And is that the takeaway we should get? Be a bit more thoughtful?
I think it's just because it's how it's being done doesn't necessarily mean that it's the way that it should be done. And yeah, it's good to get in the mind frame of possibly changing your habits, seeing how you manage your passwords, who has access to what.
Yeah.
So an awareness.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, you know, we do financial agreements for people at the start of relationships. We need to add this into our checklist for that. Like, you know, have you guys thought about the old password manager?
It's true.
Like, you know, not sharing the info could be a good test in
Absolutely.
Terms of trust. So, yeah. All right. That's been great. Thanks for coming and talking to us today. You know, it's always super enlightening when I talk to you. So, yeah, thanks.
No worries. Thank you.
You've been listening to I Do, I Sue, a family law podcast with Timothy Nichols and Gillian Yeend. To find out more about your hosts and what they do, visit chamberlains.com.au. And now, here's the bit the boss insisted we say. The information in this podcast is for general educational purposes only. None of the content should be considered legal advice. Please don't make decisions based on the information in this podcast without seeking professional legal advice of your own. For more information, visit chamberlains.com.au.